Hey, everybody. Welcome back to our podcast. This is Murder with My Husband. I'm Peyton Moreland.
And I'm Garrett Moreland.
And he's the husband.
And I'm the husband.
Well, welcome back to another episode. We just want to say thank you to everyone who has subscribed to our YouTube channel and is enjoying the YouTube videos. I really enjoy doing it, so I'm glad you guys are liking it.
Yeah, I think it's really fun. I'm still trying to like figure out how to operate in front of the camera, but I'm glad everyone else likes it.
You're doing great.
I'm trying. I just get like all the wiggles out. I don't know what it is.
It's a little uncomfortable.
Like a podcast, I can just sit, I can lay down, you know, and just record it. But
we'll do it. They don't care. Okay. Do you have your 10 seconds for this week?
I guess the 10 seconds would be, I don't know. We set all this up. Okay. We didn't set all this up, but we have a friend who's very talented. Shout out.
His name is Matt. And I guess we've officially brought him on with us. Don't get all weird. He's definitely doing some sympathy work for us, but he is helping us. So everyone give a shout out to Matt in your comments because he does a lot for us to help us out because we have no idea what we're doing. We also just want to say thank you again to everyone who has signed up for our Patreon. A little note, this week is the first week that our Patreon episodes, they're bonus episodes only for people who subscribe to a level on our Patreon get. And that is this week. And we're super excited. And because it's the first week, we actually decided to drop two extra episodes. Ooh. And so if you want to check that out, and I feel like it's going to be a really good one. So if you want to check it out, visit our Patreon. The link will be in the description. You can also just search Murder with My Husband Patreon. Okay, let's just jump right into this case.
Let's do it.
Our case sources this week are bizjournals.com, wattpad.com, houstonpress.com, and girlsfightback.com. Our story begins in April of 1995 in the great city of Houston, Texas, which I've never been to Texas, but honestly, I want to go.
Neither of us have.
No.
Yeah.
I think because it just feels like kind of out there from where we currently are.
I think it's like a 4-hour flight from where we are.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if the like stigma is like this around for everyone, but like Texas has really nice houses for cheap. That's all I know Texas for, really. And the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders. Okay. I won't forget about that. So anyways, we're in Houston, Texas, April 1995.
Okay.
Jennifer Morey is apartment hunting. She is to move to Houston soon and is looking for a complex that feels safe and secure, just like anyone else who would be looking that is listening to this podcast. According to TPK Stories with Wattpad.com, Jennifer ends up finding a complex named the Bayou Park Apartments that were close to downtown and had a full perimeter 8-foot fence around the whole thing.
Whoa.
So it's like a done. It's locked in.
Is it normal to have these type of, I guess, safety parameters in Houston?
I'm going to say no because they like pointed it out in the story that it had this. Mm-hmm. But the thing that actually sold this specific apartment complex for Jennifer was the fact that there was 24-hour security guards, standing guard.
That's kind of
24
cool.
hours. Yeah, that's what that means. Jennifer ends up signing a lease with the Bayou Park Apartments and moves into a unit on the second floor. Jennifer is a young lawyer. Her career is just starting. She's driven, works long hours well into the night. On April 15th, 1995, it was about 10 p.m., and one of Jennifer's friends calls her to tell her that she was going to a place called the L House, which is a pub. I looked it up.
Okay.
Don't worry. I looked it up. Okay, I'm getting better at this.
We're not going to make the same mistake we made with Menards.
Menards that we can't seem to hear the end of, okay?
We're so sorry.
I didn't know it's like the Bible down there, I guess. So anyways, it's a pub, but it is now closed. So I also looked that up as well. And I included the article in our case sources. Mm-hmm. But would Jennifer like to tag along with her friend that's going? Jennifer says yes, meets up with her friends, and they ride together to the L House. While at the pub, Jennifer runs into a young man who offers to give her a ride back to her new apartment. She agrees, and he drops her off around 1 a.m. after a fun night out with friends. Mm-hmm. Jennifer walks up the flight of stairs to her second floor apartment. She opens her front door, heads inside, closes it, locks the door, and puts the deadbolt on.
Okay.
She goes to her bathroom and prepares for bed, washing her face, which we love a nighttime routine. Ask Garrett, I'm religious about my nighttime routine.
It's true.
She brushes her teeth and then goes to bed. It's early. Like in the morning, not early to go to bed. It's early in the morning. It's in like 1 a.m., 2 a.m.
Okay.
A few hours later, Jennifer is sound asleep, but she begins to wake up. As she comes to, she feels that something is off. But her thoughts are still cloudy and she is still half asleep. It's kind of like in that in-between stage, yeah. But she kind of feels like something weird is going on. A brief moment passes when Jennifer realizes she can't really move. There's like pressure holding her body onto her bed.
What?
In a stomach-dropping moment, Jennifer realizes that someone is not only in her room, but someone is on top of her in her bed.
What the heck?
Yeah. Someone's body weight is pressing her body down onto her bed.
So she had just woken up in the middle of the night and realized,
like groggy, like a little unsure, and is like, I can't really move. And then realizes why she can't move.
Because there's someone on top of her. That's crazy.
As Jennifer is discovering the reality of her situation and confirming that she is in fact awake and not dreaming, the person on top of her begins reaching at her underwear, trying to yank them off. Confused, all Jennifer can think about is the feeling of the man's coarse leg hair against her smooth legs. So she's like still kind of dazed and she can feel him tugging at her underwear, but it still really hasn't completely hit her because she's still waking up. And all that can run through her mind is, his legs are so like hairy on my legs.
So she's not drugged or anything, right?
No, but she, you have to keep in mind, she was out probably drinking.
Okay.
And then she went to bed early. And this is only a couple hours later. So, you know, it's kind of just like a hazy
moment.
She's
way out of it.
Jennifer begins to struggle, reaching her hands out of her sheets, only to discover that she had reached her hands up and touched a knife that was being held against her throat.
Oh, man.
And it was that moment that completely woke Jennifer out of her sleep.
The adrenaline just starts. Yep.
She was no longer muddled or confused. She acknowledges that she is, in fact, being attacked and raped right now in her own bed. She begins fighting her attacker. She's screaming at him to please stop. Don't hurt her. She's pushing and kicking, trying to move the knife away from her neck. Jennifer reaches up and grabs her attacker's hand. And he immediately responds, and Jennifer feels a blow to her right eye, followed by warm liquid streaming down her face.
Yeah.
It takes a moment, but she realizes that he had used the knife and slashed her eye open.
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought he just punched her.
No, it's the blood coming out of her eye she can feel. Jennifer has a moment of clarity with herself. She comes to the conclusion that if she doesn't get this guy off of her, he will kill her. Like he just slashed her eye open. It doesn't matter how bad her eye hurt. She could not die like this in her bed. Jennifer tries to study the man on top of her, but all she can see is the outline of his hair, which seems short and straight. As she struggles with her intruder, she is screaming as loud as she can. Keep in mind, she's in an apartment building. Someone had to be hearing her.
I forgot about that.
Like she's screaming.
Do you know what floor she was on?
Second. And she's so like,
someone's got to hear.
She's thinking as she's screaming, just scream loud enough so someone can hear. Yeah. Like I'm in an apartment building. As she's screaming, the man says, Jennifer, shut the heck up. Well, he doesn't say heck, but for our podcast, shut the heck up.
So as you were saying that, I was thinking it's so scary because I feel like whenever you talk about these cases like this, it's always somebody that the victim knows.
Exactly.
Like almost always someone that the victim knows.
Imagine how chilling that would be to hear someone say your name as they're trying to rape you.
That's so scary.
When up to this point, she was like trying to study him and was like, I don't know this man.
That's so crazy.
This guy knew her name. She knew the man that was raping her. She tries her hardest to recognize his voice, but cannot figure it out as they're struggling. Jennifer keeps screaming and her attacker reaches down and slits her throat open.
What?
As she realizes what happened, she feels like she's going to die. Now, not only is her eye literally slit open, there's blood all over her face. She was screaming so loud that the attacker slit her throat. And now that blood is going everywhere. She would do anything to live right now, but how many more slashes, stab wounds can she take? The attacker then tells her not to look at him anymore or he would kill her. And although Jennifer wanted to keep fighting, she had been fighting this whole time, she felt that if she just did what this man said, she might get out alive. So she turns her head away, closes her eyes, and endures the attack, completely stops fighting.
Yeah.
The man does not succeed at raping her, and I think this means that he couldn't rape her.
Okay.
He gets up, and according to Wattpad.com, drags Jennifer by her hair across her bedroom, and then tells her to get into the bathroom that's in her apartment.
When you say get her in the bathroom, do you mean like put her in the tub or the shower or just get in the bathroom?
Just into the bathroom.
Okay. Yeah.
At this point, Jennifer's attacker heads back into her bedroom to get the knife. He mm-hmm. forgot it. And Jennifer realizes this and slams the door to the bathroom. She slams it shut, but then realizes that there's no lock on this bathroom door.
Oh.
So can you imagine how scary to be like, oh, I finally got away from him, but crap, there's no lock.
But there's no lock.
So she presses her body against the door, but then realizes it's not going to be enough to hold it. Mm-hmm. So she sits down with her back against the door and presses her feet with her legs straight into the side of the tub.
Oh, got it.
So okay. essentially he would have to break her legs mm-hmm. to get the door open with her sitting like that, or she would have to bend her, and then the door would open. As Jennifer is sitting there, she's being quiet. Mm-hmm. She can hear the chilling sound of this man who had just attacked her moving around her apartment on the other side of the door. So she's just sitting there like, is he about to come in here? And all she can hear is him like shuffling.
Is she still screaming at this point or is she quiet?
She's dead quiet.
Okay.
Can you just imagine how scary? Mm-hmm. It sounds as if he's moving things, grabbing things and putting them back down. Then she hears the sound of the intruder getting dressed and slowly she hears him zipping up his pants. Like, can you just imagine that sound?
What in the world?
This whole situation is so terrifying. But to make it worse, Jennifer is sitting on the floor of her bathroom, now in a pool of her own blood. Because keep in mind, her throat has been slit.
Yeah.
So her wounds are bleeding so profusely that there's just blood everywhere. Yeah. She scooches over to the toilet quickly and grabs the whole roll of toilet paper. Not like just grabs the roll and pushes it against her throat. Because she's like, like anyone would think, I have to stop this bleeding. She realizes that she doesn't have much longer. She's feeling weaker. She's getting lightheaded. Like she's losing blood. Mm-hmm. She knows that she can't just sit in this bathroom scared or else she's going to die.
Yeah.
So she courageously just says, I'm going to take the risk. I'm going to leave the bathroom. Like I've got to get out of this apartment.
Does she still hear him in the...
No, it's dead quiet at this point. She struggles as she stands up to open the door. Because keep in mind, like... She has to stand up, trying to be quiet, but she realizes that she has so much blood on her hands that she can't get a grip on the handle because it's just covered in blood. So once she finally does get a hold of the handle, she goes to pull the door open and she has jammed it shut by pushing her back into it so hard. So she can't get the door open because she jammed it so hard with her body.
Okay, so she almost like,
got it. She jammed herself into the bathroom trying to keep him out. So she realizes that she is going to have to loudly yank at this door.
Oh, no.
Which she was planning to try to be quiet to slip out.
Uh-huh.
But it was either that or bleed to death. That's what she's thinking. So she just begins yanking, like loudly. Jennifer jerks the door open in the middle of the night and slowly crawls out. So she goes back down onto her knees.
I'm surprised no one has heard... any of this.
So she's thinking like, I was screaming. How is no one over at my apartment yet?
I feel like when we lived in that apartment.
Yeah.
Like you can hear everything.
You can hear everything. Just how has nobody come over to see if she's okay? How are the cops not here yet? Someone surely heard her. Someone surely called. Someone cared. Jennifer slowly tries to turn the lights on and none of them are working. So she tries to find her phone and it too is not working. The intruder had cut her power lines. Which just crazy.
What the heck?
She stops dead in her tracks at this moment. Reality setting in that as she was too busy trying to find a way to get out of this, she still has no idea whether this guy is in her apartment or not. So she's like completely vulnerable. It's dark. She's bleeding. She can barely see. Is he behind the couch? Is he in the kitchen? Like I cannot imagine how scary that would be. Jennifer is like, okay, I got to get my head on straight. She reaches around for her cell phone, finds it eventually, and calls 911. I can't find a copy of this call anywhere on Google, but I did hear portions of it on one of the sources I used. So if I can find like a usable copy, we will insert it for you so you can listen to some of the clip.
Please call me.
Okay.
I just tried to cut my throat.
Ma'am?
There's blood everywhere. I'm covered in blood.
Jennifer just sounds in shock on the clip. She can't really comprehend what happened. She calls and she's like, someone broke into my apartment. He cut me. I don't know how this could happen. I don't even know who he is. She's calm. Like she's not yelling, but she's also, I think she's just like in shock about what's happening.
Yeah.
All right, you guys, this show is sponsored by BetterHelp. And I don't know about you, but when I've been hanging out a lot, going out with friends, dinners, maybe my social battery completely drains and I need to take a few days to have a breather. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you, and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people. Maybe you need some time alone. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I'm a huge believer in therapy, and even if you're like, I just don't feel like I have much to talk about, I don't feel like I have all this trauma, you don't realize how much your body holds on to with stress and just unhappy emotions. It holds on to it. So it's nice to let it out and get it out. Keep your life in order. And that is something therapy can do for you.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/husband today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/husband.
Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations.
Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching, so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. So, I speak a little bit of Spanish. Okay, that's not true. I speak Spanish fluently for the most part, and Peyton has always wanted to learn a language, so she's actually started using Babbel, and she's going to use it the next time we go to Mexico, and I'm really excited to see how her Spanish is.
Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/husband. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/husband, spelled BABBEL.com/husband. Rules and restrictions may apply. Okay, if you're like me, you probably care about eating healthy. I feel like we've all tried a million different ways to do that, but
McDonald's. Nah, just kidding.
But honestly, it became a no-brainer when I got my first Hungry Root delivery, and I have to tell you, I ordered Hungry Root.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And then a week later, they reached out wanting to be a sponsor of the show. And I was like, good to go, because I already went on and ordered Hungry Root.
We seriously loved it. Before we were even sponsored and Peyton ordered it just because she wanted to try it, it was so cool. Like, it came in this box. There's all these different foods and they're healthy. They're good for you. There's snacks, stuff to make dinner recipes. It was amazing. The very first night we got it, we made our dinner and we both loved it.
Well, and it's really easy. You actually just take a short quiz and Hungry Root will get to know your personal health goals. And then they'll build you a personalized cart with all your grocery needs for the week and give you delicious recipe recommendations. So honestly, I can just go and pick a recipe, boom, puts all of it in my cart. It's crazy.
Everything from Hungry Root follows a simple standard. It's got to taste good, be quick to make, and contain whole trusted ingredients.
So right now, Hungry Root is offering Murder With My Husband listeners 40% off your first delivery and free veggies for life. Just go to hungryroot.com/husband to get 40% off your first delivery and your free veggies. That's hungryroot.com/husband. Don't forget to use our link so they know that we sent you.
We're jumping into an ad right now, and I've had this question. I think about it all the time because I hate getting sick. Do you ever wonder why some people just don't get sick? One of the reasons you can help yourself from getting sick is Armra colostrum.
Okay, obviously I had no idea that colostrum is the first nutrition we receive in life and is an exclusive source of all the essential nutrients we need in order to thrive. So what's amazing is Armra colostrum is a proprietary concentrate of bovine colostrum that harnesses over 400 functional nutrients to strengthen your immune barriers, your body's inside suit of armor, and the first line of defense against harmful particles from the environment that can trigger inflammation and actually make you sick.
I'm not saying that it 100% works for everybody, because obviously you never know, but all I'm saying is I haven't been sick since I started taking it.
Well, and the science behind it is so cool. Armra colostrum strengthens all four layers of your gut wall, where 80% of your immune cells are housed, and it's a rich, exclusive source of antibodies that optimize your immune defense during cold and flu season.
Plus, in clinical trials, bovine colostrum was found to be at least 3 times more effective than the flu vaccine at preventing the flu. we've worked out a special offer for our audience. Receive 15% off your first order. Go to tryarmra.com/husband or enter husband to get 15% off your first order. Again, that's tryarmra.com/husband.
She tells dispatch that someone broke in, cut her throat. The dispatcher is super understanding and good with Jennifer. This was an extremely long 911 call, and he calms her down, gives her somebody to trust in and have faith in, like, a stellar job from this dispatcher.
I'm like, someone needs to come over. She's going to die from losing all that blood.
She's getting weaker. Like, she's sounding delirious. She's not, if this guy comes back in, she's not going to be able to fight him off. That's how weak she is. Around 15 minutes into this 911 call, which that is just such a long call.
That's a long call.
Jennifer hears a pounding on her front door. Jennifer tells the dispatcher, oh, the police are here. They're here.
Oh, no.
The dispatcher urgently says, no, Jennifer, I have the Houston Fire and Police Department on my screen, and they are not at your apartment yet.
Don't answer the door right now.
Hello? Security?
And so she walks over to the door and she says, hello. And she tells dispatch that it is her apartment security, the 24-hour security. But she can't see out the peephole because she doesn't have her contacts in, and there's so much blood in her face, which I can relate to that hardcore, not being able to see because no contacts.
How did she know security? Did they say we're security?
Yeah, this is security. Like, are you okay? You know? And the security guard tells her to open the door. He can help her. Like, you know, she was attacked. And the dispatcher tells Jennifer, you know, if you are not for sure because you can't see out that people, don't open the door. Yeah. Like, it's probably security. It most likely is security, but let's just wait. The police are almost there. Let's just wait.
That's smart.
And she's like, well, he can help. And he's like, no, let's just wait. Keep the door closed. The security guard will not go away. He keeps pounding on the door, telling Jennifer he will show her his badge. She just needs to open the door for him. She needs to open the door. He can identify himself. And Jennifer, you know, currently has a slash on her right eye. Her throat is cut. And the cut to her throat has actually nicked her jugular vein.
Oh, yeah. No.
So it's not like cut, but it's like it's bleeding. She has a stab wound to her throat as well. So not only did he slash, he stabbed, and she has two more stab wounds into her arm.
How is she even moving at this point?
No idea. She's delirious. Time is moving slow. Like, she's like, it's just a complete daze for her. And this guy's pounding on her door, and dispatches in her ear, like, don't open it. And she's like, I just need help. Like, it's been 15 minutes. Yeah. I need help. I want to open the door. And he's like, don't open the door. The dispatcher eventually tells Jennifer that the police and fire are there. And at about that same time, Jennifer can hear lots of commotion and voices outside. So she opens the door. And as soon as she opens the door, she collapses onto the ground and is like done. Because, I mean, she's just been fighting. Yeah.
Yeah.
She hears throughout the commotion that a security guard has also been injured by the attacker. The one that was out there had been injured by the attacker. That's how he knew the attacker.
The one that was knocking on the door?
Yes.
Oh, I thought for a second that maybe he was the one that attacked her.
Yeah. And so she hears them saying, like, oh, he was injured. That's how he knows an attacker had come. He had tried to stop the attacker when the attacker had jumped out of Jennifer's apartment window, but could not stop him after wrestling him to the ground. The attacker ran away.
Whoa. Yeah. Did the security guards have guns or tasers or anything?
No idea. When Jennifer was taken to the hospital, police searched her apartment and found a pair of underwear, a hat, a belt, and a glove. The hat they found in Jennifer's apartment, left there from her attacker, was a security guard hat from the apartment complex.
Oh.
Police immediately re-interview the so-called injured security guard who had come in contact with the supposed attacker and discover that he has blood on his socks, no underwear on, and blood on his stomach.
I didn't even put two and two together for a second that he could have been
lying
and faking it.
The on-duty security guard from Jennifer's safe apartment complex had broken into her apartment, raped, and attempted to kill her. Well, attempted to rape her and kill her. Mm-hmm. He had then come back moments later
to try to finish her off,
get the evidence, and kill her.
Wow.
But Jennifer would not open her front door because the dispatcher told her not to. 20 people in the apartment complex had woke up during Jennifer's attack to her screams, and not one of them called police.
That's so surprising. I sometimes think like it's like the what would you do with what's his name?
I think people are just like,
well, maybe they're just fighting or maybe
it's okay. Like you don't want to think the worst. You don't want to think, oh, there's a girl in there getting killed.
I want to think that I would call the police, but like
that's scary too.
I really hope if we're ever in that situation that I'm like, I don't care. I'm calling the police.
Yeah. Doctors and police consider Jennifer a miracle. There was blood all over her apartment, on the ceiling, everywhere. She was covered in blood. The apartment was covered in blood. She had truly fought for her life. 26-year-old Brian Wayne Gibson was convicted of aggravated burglary with intent to commit sexual assault. So that doesn't say attempted murder. A couple sources said that he was convicted of that, but then a couple didn't. So I'm not sure, but I don't think so because he was only sentenced to 20 years in prison.
It's so strange to me. It's like, I can stab someone a couple of times, but it's not attempted murder. But maybe it is, like you said.
Yeah.
Maybe.
So I don't know. But even then, like 20 years, if she had died, it would have been life in prison.
Yeah.
But because she didn't die, because she fought, it was 20 years. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Jennifer and her 911 dispatcher, whose name was Richard Beckett, remained friends to this day.
Good job, Richard.
He attended Jennifer's wedding. And it is rumored, and by rumored, I mean true because I fixed that later, to have been Richard's first shift as a dispatcher.
No way. That is the coolest thing I've ever heard.
Go, Richard. Go, Richard.
That's awesome.
Yeah. First shift.
Uh-huh.
So according to Steve McVicker with the Houston Press, after the attack, Jennifer filed a lawsuit against Pinkerton Security, which is the business that hired the security for this apartment complex.
Okay.
While researching this suit, she and her attorney learned that Brian Gibson was far from the first Pinkerton guard to have situations like this happen.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Texas state records show that between 1991 and 1995, approximately 130 Pinkerton guards or people recently employed as Pinkerton guards were convicted of felonies.
That's got to be... That's a lot.
And they're security guards.
Yep.
Insane. And I went down this rabbit hole where a lot of these people, these guards, were convicted of like sexual felonies.
Oh, okay.
And it's like, but Pinkerton kept hiring them. So she sued Pinkerton. Like, you should have done better research. There's no reason this guy should have been
a
security guard. And she wins. And the money that she won isn't disclosed. It's rumored that Brian Wade Gibson is now out of prison and on parole.
So,
because this was in the 1990s and he was only convicted to 20 years.
Okay.
I could not find like a professional source for information on that, but I did look him up on the sex offender registry and I did find him.
Okay.
And his like address. I'm not sure if that means he's out or if that was like a former address or whatever, but I did find him and that I think he's released.
I guess I'm trying to wrap my mind around it because he almost killed someone.
And now he's out.
And now he's out of prison.
So if you're in Houston, Texas, please be careful because he would have killed her. He came back.
To kill her.
To kill her.
But she didn't open the door.
No. Like I don't even understand. I don't understand. But that's the story of Jennifer Morey, freaking bad A woman who fought. There's no reason she should have lived through that attack.
So as far as true crime goes, I think, I don't know if I want to say like I survived, but I do like the I survived stories a lot more than
Well, they have a better ending. Most of the victims,
quote unquote, happy ending.
Yeah, I mean, I will say Jennifer did struggle.
Yes.
After for years, and it did take her a while, but she has now since come out and said, "I've gone on. I'm a lawyer. Like I've moved on." But it did take her a while.
Mm-hmm. Just the way she handled everything, like
insane.
It's like so well.
Also, to think that she was a fighter type, right? Like she was a fighter.
Yeah, fight or flight. She was like, I'm fighting.
And the fact that she had to tell herself, stop fighting to survive or else he's literally going to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
He's used a weapon on you. He doesn't care.
Yeah.
So she had to turn away and just say, okay. I think that shows like just as good of strength, you know, as like someone who's just going to fight till the death, because that was also a way for her to be smart enough to go, this is how I have to get out of this.
Why did he leave? What made him leave?
No idea. I wonder if he like freaked out. I don't know.
I wonder if he was thinking, oh, someone heard.
Or she thinks that he thinks she was dead because she was being quiet in the bathroom.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
But I don't know why he wouldn't check. Also, I could not find it. I looked for so long. I do not know how he got in her apartment.
Oh, okay. That's something else I was going to ask.
The front door was deadbolted.
But I figured he got in through the window.
The second story? How did he get up there?
I mean, so our apartment was on the second story. You could have climbed up.
Yeah, that's true. And I think he exited through that. And that's why he said he saw the attacker someone exit else. Through. Uh-huh. So maybe he did have a ladder there or something. I'm not sure. I could not find it anywhere. And I was like, how has someone not told me how he got into her that's apartment? That's interesting. Because I think it's weird that when he came back, there was 15 minutes where he was banging on her door or whatever. I mean, I don't know if it was that long, but it was quite a long time. Why didn't he just go back up the ladder? Or why didn't he just go back up the way he got in? Why did he stand at the door? You know what I'm saying? But she's not letting me in. Why don't I try a different way?
My guess is he was going to go in, kill her, get the evidence, go back out the front door and be like, someone attacked me or something. Like he was trying to plan what's the best way for me to look innocent.
Just why leave your underwear in there?
I mean,
tell you why. Criminals are stupid. That's why.
Yeah, true.
Very rarely do we find a smart criminal.
I'm just glad that she's alive.
I am too. I am too. And I think that it's good. I mean, she's personally shared her story on I Survived. Oh. And that was one of my sources.
That's awesome.
But I think it's important to just show that, like, you know, you can fight, you cannot fight, you can do whatever, you're still a victim.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter what happens, you are a victim and everyone respects you and everyone respects your story. Yeah. And I mean, yeah, that's all we have for this story. But I just want to give another reminder about our Patreon episodes this week. If you are caught up and you are just dying to hear from me and Garrett some more, go visit our Patreon.
Yeah, we're actually really excited to do our Patreon.
To do those extra episodes. Mm-hmm. It's going to be really fun. And there are other fun things that come along with our Patreon. It will grow.
Yeah. The bloopers.
Yeah.
Like sometimes we cut things out when we're videoing or podcasts in general.
Mainly because we're both dumb.
Peyton and I are both kind of crazy.
But yeah, you can see all that and everything. So if you are interested in that, please go check it out. If not, we still love you. We love that you're here. We love our listeners. And we just want to thank you for this opportunity that you give us. It's seriously so much fun. Check us out on social media, Murder with My Husband, across every single platform. And we will see you guys next week with another episode. I love it.
And I hate it.
Goodbye.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.